We've been going through mercy and grace. We talked about the manifold graces, the manifold mercies, salvation being one of those mercies, salvation, the part where, in a lot of these things, again, the mercy and the grace works together at the very same time. The mercy says that we don't go to hell because that is what we deserve. The grace is we go to heaven, which is what we do not deserve. So there's the mercy and grace working at the same time. The moment you get saved, obviously, you're not going to hell anymore. And also, obviously, you're going to heaven. So the mercy and grace work simultaneously. We're excited about that, and we're thankful for all of that. I want to talk about another one this morning. Oh, by the way, just to rewind a little bit, you don't get saved so you can sit. I've said that for years and years. You don't get saved so you can just sit around and not do anything. The Lord has got something for you to do. Now, we talked in length last week about finding out what is it that God wants you to do. Because to be real honest with you, a lot of folks aren't interested in seeking God's will. They just want to do what they want to do. A lot of folks want to, and it could be good things. It could be things that, I'll give you a great, wonderful for instance, and not many people do this voluntarily, but you get involved in the bus ministry, I promise you, you better be called into it. Because if you're not called into it, you won't stay in it. See, the calling of God, it's not just working, it's a calling of God that God has asked us to do these things. Well, if God has asked us to do those things, then you can take it up with God when you're not happy about it anymore. And when you take it up with God, you don't take it up with Brother Dave, you don't take it up with Brother John, you don't take it up with Brother Bill, you don't take it up with a preacher. You say, man, I'm not with God, I don't want to do this anymore. Then God will move you around. See, the whole problem is we don't seek God's will. We don't care about God's will. We just want our will. We just want to do what we want to do. And because we want to do what we want to do, we're not interested in God telling us, well, that's not what I want you to do. Because if God tells you it's not what he wants you to do, you're going to argue with God about it. And we argue with God a lot when it comes to that. He did not save you to sit around, but he did save you for something. Because it's not, it makes no sense. Oh, he would keep you saved, and you're not going to lose that salvation, but don't you think that if you got saved, that there's a purpose? Don't you think that God saved you for a purpose? And that purpose is not to sit around and complain about everything else that's going on. That's not a purpose to get saved. That's not a purpose to complain about the preacher talking about tithing. That's not why you got saved. You got saved to serve the Lord, and you got to seek out. And he might not give you that answer in 5 minutes. You may have to seek that out for a while to find out what God has for your life. Now, let's move on from that. Another one of the manifold graces of God is prayer. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. God doesn't owe us anything. And that's something I need to... God does not owe the Christian anything. There's never one time that God has had something that he owes us. As Christians, he doesn't owe us another day. He doesn't owe us another breath. He doesn't owe us a shiny day. We pray sometimes and shake our fists when God doesn't give us what we want. But God doesn't owe us anything. If God doesn't give us another thing, yet we have heaven waiting on us. If God doesn't give us another thing, yet we do not have hell waiting on us. If God doesn't give us another thing, he's already given us too much. Okay? So that's why I say to you every time when I talk from this pulpit that God has been good to you, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what he went through then. Because we do not deserve anything that God gives us. We don't. We deserve hell. That's the bottom line. But we've accepted that payment that Jesus Christ has made, the payment on the cross, because of that payment that we get to go to heaven. Because of that payment, we don't have to go to hell. God doesn't owe us anything, yet how many things has he given us? He doesn't owe us anything, but how many things has he given us? He's given us prayer. Good night, man. He did not have to be able to hear us. If it was up to God, hey, listen, God is not required to hear from you. God is not required to have you come to the throne. God is not required to have us do, oh, well, prayer's owed to me. No, it's not. God doesn't owe us a thing. We owe him everything. Now look at this. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to read this whole thing. Because this is a dynamic chapter on the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We've got to, but here's what's funny. Coming short of it, I have come to the realization over this many years, coming short of the promise of God of heaven is because we make it too hard. Coming short of the promise of God is us simply saying that we are coming short of asking Christ to save us. Coming short of asking Christ to save you is living a good life to get you to heaven. Is getting baptized to get to heaven. That's coming short of what God has. That verse is so simple to understand. If you come short of the grace of God and salvation, it's because you made it too hard. It's because we've added us into it somewhere. Because we've decided it's us that get us to heaven. It's not us. It's Him. All Him. If you add anything else to it, you're going to add to these words.
That's right.
See, that's the funny thing. We think, well, putting these words into salvation. No, these are God's words. He's paid it. Why doesn't it make sense to people that without these we can't be saved? How hard is that to understand? These are God's words. He's paid it. Why do we have to add our words to it? Come on now. Oh, I know we're intelligent people. I know that we have to sometimes butter them up to hear the word of God. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't give them the word of God, how in the world is God going to give them salvation? I don't get that. I don't understand the thought process. Well, I'm smart enough. I don't need God's word. I'm smart enough. I'll use whatever version I have. That's the dumbest thing. And I'm telling you, there's preachers all across the country right now that are saying, oh, you can do whatever you want to when you go out soul winning. When you win somewhere, you can do whatever you want to. That's a devil's lie.
That's right.
If you think that's true, then God's not paying it. You take man's word out. Let me tell you something. I can show you scripture where Jesus wasn't even allowed to say anything that God wouldn't let him say. So because Jesus wasn't allowed, hey, we are pretty cool people. We're pretty smart. Dress nice, smell good, most of us. And here it is, we go out soul winning. Hey, I got something to tell you. You have nothing to tell them. Christ has something to tell them.
Right.
I get a kick out of all these people. I won 8,000 people to the Lord. You didn't win one. You warned 8,000, but you didn't win 8,000. Christ does all the winning. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Isn't that wonderful? See, the word preached has to be there. If you don't believe it, this word is not magic. This word is God's word.
Amen.
You don't have to believe it. It's up to you. If you believe it, fantastic. God's going to take you to heaven through his bountiful and wonderful mercy and grace. But at the end of the day, if you don't mix that with faith in believing this word, let me tell you something right now. I've got faith in this book just like I've got faith in my salvation.
Amen.
You say, why? Because this is what tells me I've got salvation.
Right.
God didn't come down to appear in a human form and say, hey, you're saved, by the way. I just want to let you know that. He didn't come to us and say, Brother Dave, let me tell you how I know you're saved. I know I'm saved because the Bible tells me so. It better be true from page to page, front to back, cover to cover. It better be true because if it's not, how do I know I'm saved?
That's right.
See, that's the craziness about this thing. For we which have, verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? He knew before the world even began that I was going to get saved.
Yes.
You wrap your head around that. By the way, he knows who's not going to get saved. Now that's a slippery slope. Well, if he knows who's going to get saved, why do we have to go out soul winning? Because we don't know. John Calvin was an idiot.
Yes, right.
You don't have to go out soul winning. Christ's going to win him anyhow. How's he going to do that if we don't go out soul winning? Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to take the word of God to people. People aren't just walking out in the street and tripping over Bibles and reading them. We got to show them. That's our job. He that winneth souls is wise. We've got to do it. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Because of unbelief. Again, not because of bad works, not because of bad people, but because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. This is being spoken to the Hebrews, by the way. Hebrews always wanted a place of rest. Wouldn't you like to have a place of rest? A place to stop, a place to take a minute. Good night, wouldn't it be wonderful? Well, we've got that waiting on us in heaven. We're Gentiles. We just believe that. The Jews needed to see it. And so they constantly talked about this place of rest. It's there, Jewish people. Just accept Jesus Christ. That, you know, I know heaven is a place of rest. But we'll get to prayer in a minute. But do you realize that your daily life could also be a place of rest? How's that possible? I tell you what, quit fighting against Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing to me how we try so desperately to take into our own hands and in our own mind the things that God, we would have God to do in our lives. Notice how I said that, by the way. We take into our hands, into our might, what we would have God to do in our life. Well, you should not be in the attitude of what we would have God to do through our life. It should be, we should be very interested in what God would have to do in our life. Not because we are anything at all, but because He is everything and all in all, we should have Him doing something through our life. And if we would start to work and let Jesus work through our life, I've got to believe we would be a little bit more peaceful. Huh? Well, it's not turning out right. If you let God have control of it. And I know some of us are going through some hard times. I understand it. I am too. But if I don't allow God to have it, I'm going to go absolutely out of my mind. If I don't let God have it, I know people are going through hard times. I'm fully aware of that. You'll look at me and say, well, that's easy for you to say. You're not going through anything. You're nuts. I go through things just like you go through things. Everybody in this room's got something going on. And if we're not willing to give it to God, then you're going to live a life of turmoil. You're going to live a life of being nervous all the time. You're going to live a life of no peace. But I'm going to tell you, as you walk on this earth, if you let God direct your steps and let God direct your life, I promise you, He will give you rest, even while you're here. Oh, it's not the same rest as eternity. When we're worried about walking the streets of gold with bare feet, I guarantee you that's not what you're going to have rest in. But you can have rest in the craziness of it. And by the way, it's getting crazier. It's crazy. But God's still in control. And we've got to know that God's in control. Even with the nut jobs in the White House right now, God's in control. And we need to understand that God's in control. What a grace, a wonderful grace of God that is. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful. It's amazing how God puts that in there. In the midst of all this rest, cling to the Bible. In the midst of all this rest, go to the word of God. In the midst of all, it's amazing. People get crazy with their lives and quit reading their Bible. This is where you're going to find peace. This is where you're going to find rest. This is where you're going to find hope and joy and mercy and grace. This is where you're going to find it. I know that. Well, just seek the Lord in prayer. We're going to talk about prayer in a very quick minute here. But understand this. If you're not willing to hear from God, I got to believe He's going to be less willing to hear from you. I think there's an order of things. And I think reading the Word of God is more important than prayer. Not one amen. Not one. Not one. Do you know why that's so? Because reading takes work. Prayer you can do laying on your pillow. And prayer's important. Let me tell you something. Prayer is vital to your Christian life. And we don't use prayer enough. And we don't have the power of God in our prayers. I'm telling you, we don't have the power of God in our prayers because we don't see Him answered very often. Why don't we see Him answered very often? Do you do the diligent work of a Christian? Huh? They are a rewarder of them that haphazardly seek Him. He is a rewarder of them that come by from time to time. Huh? He is a rewarder. Well, why haven't you gotten right in it? Because you haven't stopped by His house in a while. God is not layaway. I don't understand it. God is not layaway. God is not something you can keep making down payments towards. If you want God to do something in your life, then do something in your life for God. I'm amazed. Well, God is merciful and He is. But you know what I want? We've never experienced the manifold graces of God. I'm telling you right now, we experienced this in the church when they healed up our preacher. We experienced it all at once. And man, we were so excited. People were coming to the altar before any words were even preached. God was doing the preaching that day, and people couldn't wait to come to the altar. When's that happened the last time? Because we stopped being plugged in. That's all that there is to it. Now, people get mad at me and talk about this, but understand this. In the midst of this rest, here's God. In the midst of this rest, here's this verse. In the midst of how do we get rest, preacher? The word of God is quick. Is that an accident? Did God put that in the wrong place? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why you won't read. Because you read and realize that you fit in. Huh? Well, the Bible's talking to you. Doggone it. I didn't want that at all. John, I'd rather just go through life thinking I'm doing a good job. And then you get the Bible. Oh, man, I'm not doing a very good job. Oh, boy. Yeah, I sinned just like that the other day. Oh, man, that thing that they're talking about, that was me. It's amazing. It's a preacher. Huh. We got to these calendars. I love it. I get a big kick out of it. When we first got them. And I know I keep talking about this, but I think it's funny. You get it. First comment. Woo! And God's blessing my life. I've never seen some of the things I've seen before since I started reading the Bible. That's because you've never seen them before. Oh, man, this thing is great. And here we are 6 months through. Nobody tells me that anymore. Why? It's hard. It's hard.
Yes, yes.
It's hard to be a diligent Christian. Why aren't we being rewarded? Why aren't we diligently seeking Him? Well, I'm talking about diligence again, not on Sunday. Oh, this is good stuff. Here, Sunday. That's why Sunday school doesn't. People don't come. You know why they don't come? Because I'm going to tell you right now, they don't want to hear. And that's why they go to Joel Osteen's church. That's why they go to these other... I want to cuss right now. I really do. That's why they go to these crackpot churches. That it won't tell them that God wants to bless them, but God, you've got to seek God out.
That's right. Amen.
It's not an accident that the Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You do the best at your job, if you're the best at your job, and your company sees you're the best at your job, you show up, you want the boss to be proud, you do the best you can, what are you going to do? You're going to get promoted. Well, most of the time you get promoted. And why is it any different in the Christian realm? Why is it any different? If He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, where are you going to find it? We're going to find it in prayer. Hey, listen. I know prayer is important. It is vitally important. But you'll never convince me that it's more important than reading the Word of God. You'll never convince me of that. Never. It's easy for someone to stand up. Well, we need to pray against the power of God. You need to seek God diligently. He'll reward that. To seek God diligently, He'll reward that. I think prayer comes after seeking Him.
Amen. Yeah.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
You can argue this all you want to. You go ahead and argue, but your heart's telling you right now that you should be reading His Word.
Right.
Your heart's telling you right now. It's telling you right now to listen to me. That's not me doing that. That's God telling you. Listen to this fat boy. He's telling you to read your Bible. Say, I don't understand it all. I don't understand it either. There's a lot of things I get to, man, I can't believe some of the things that happened in the Old Testament. Woo! They're cutting people's hands off, laying flat. I'm telling you right now, it was for real back then. This is nothing today. You just say homosexual while you're preaching, you can go to jail. Yeah, but you're not going to have your flesh laid off. I mean, this is we're not persecuted.
No.
We're liars.
Yeah.
Amen. And by the way, this is one fat Baptist preacher never going to stop preaching against homosexuality.
Amen.
I don't care how many times they march in here. I'm not going to stop preaching against the queer movement.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's a movement.
Right.
They need to have a movement is what they need to do. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Let me tell you something. Not manifest in his sight is talking still about the word of God. Neither, that's right after this verse, by the way. It's not an accident. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight. I'm going to tell you, the Bible will speak to you and let you know what's going on in your life.
Amen.
In your heart, you know what you're feeling. Nobody else around you has to know. And by the way, we're good at it, aren't we? Huh? We're good at being Christian in front of people, but inside of our hearts, we're not truly doing what. Whatever. It is what it is. God knows, though, and his word knows. And if you read his Bible, it's amazing to me, you constantly get drugged to verses that deal with you. You don't get drugged to verses that deal with John Black.
Nope.
You get drugged to verses that deal with you. You come to me and say, well, this Bible's talking about me and I don't like it. Yeah, I know. It is. That's why you want to walk out when preaching happens. Because God knows you're coming.
Amen.
And God tells preachers, you act like we sit here and watch you on satellite. I just went in the bar last week and here you are preaching about alcohol. Are you following me, preacher? No, God's following you and he tells us what's going on. Here's the funny thing. Do you know God has us preach to us too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you understand that? For a preacher to stand up there and pontificate about how good he is lying to you. He's lying to you. The preachers we have here are good people. Please don't misread me. But to think for 1 minute that they're flawless is stupid.
Right. Right. Amen.
And God preaches to us too. That's why I like to read his Bible, because he lets me know how much grace he has for me.
Yes. Yes.
You think that's horrible. Well, he's constantly speaking ill of me. No, he's letting you know how graceful he is to you.
Yes.
Wow, that's good.
You look at it the wrong way. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That, my friends, is powerful.
Amen.
By the way, God doesn't say here we might have to do with him. God doesn't say or maybe he'll show up. God says under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is a reckoning, Christian. And by the way, it's not just the mercy seat where we can use God's blood. Not there. He reckons with you all the time. And you know it.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He reckons with me all the time too. He comes and says, hey, Brother David. I let him call me that. Hey, Brother David. Did you know you're an idiot? He says it just like that. That's the language I understand. He says, hey, you're an idiot. And I say, I know, but how did I do it this time? Did you know he'll tell me? And by the way, you say it's conscience. I say it's God.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, right.
He's telling me what you're doing wrong.
Right.
Wait a minute. You say that's horrible. Man, I get so sick and tired. That's grace.
Yes.
Amen.
That's grace. That's grace. That's God saying, hey, stop. Come this way.
Yeah.
Instead of God going.
Yeah.
That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah,
God could say, you know what? I'm God. You're dead. And that's it.
Yeah.
And give you a shed in heaven. He could do that. He's God. He could do that. He's got. I believe he's got some 10 by 12s in heaven waiting on some folks. I'll tell you that right now. I'm getting my mansion. They said the Bible says there are in my Father's house many mansions. Many. Not all. Many. What are you working for? Praise the Lord.
Well, I don't, I'm not going to work for God says, well done, thou good thing.
He's not going to say it to everybody. I'm going to be one. I'm telling right now, I believe I'm looking at a 10 by 12. I really do. And I'm going to be thankful to get the 10 by 12. Say what you want to say. I'm going to be thankful to get the 10 by 12. I would love to have a mansion waiting on me in heaven, but it says there's many. And I haven't been a many Christian. Boy, this is good stuff. We're going to get to prayer in a minute. Seeing then that we have a greater high priest, and boy, he is, that has passed into the heavens, making a way for us. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us do what we're called to do. That's what it's saying. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He went through every one of them. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, but he does, and he went through it too. Yeah, but he's God, and he's given you that mind if you'll take it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. See, that's the funny thing. We don't know that because we don't read. And because we don't read, we can't understand that Jesus Christ wants to help us, desperately wants to help us. That's what he died for, to give us salvation and an ability to take the grace of God while we're here. Look at this now. But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Now see, we sin. He didn't sin. And because he didn't sin, he can help you through. Look at this now. Let us therefore, because we know that, listen, we know this verse.
Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Let him come and pray.
You forgot what we just read before this. So you've got to read all this in context. You've got to, because of all this, look at what it says. Let us therefore, because of everything that came before, let us therefore, because of the word of God being quick and powerful. And by the way, did it come before this?
Yes.
The word of God is quick. Did it come before? I'm just asking you a question. You say, well, Trudy, you're just a King James Bible nut job of what you are. All you want to do is constantly read, 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 read. That's what God wants you to do.
Right.
Tell me I'm wrong. God does everything decently and in order.
Yes.
Look at this now. Let us therefore, because of all these things, come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? That we may attain mercy. Did you miss it? Did it pass by you? He is a rewarder of them that diligently. It didn't say half-heartedly. It didn't say if you get there. It didn't say maybe. He's a rewarder that, by the way, it didn't say diligently work for him. Help me now. Christian, I'm just trying to give you Bible. I'm trying to give you Bible. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You are seeking after him. Where are you going to find him?
I'll just get all alone out in the woods and I'll find him out there. Uh-huh.
You're not going to find him out there. He's right here.
Right.
Now let me tell you something. Let us therefore, because of where we can find him, let us come boldly to the throne of grace.
Right.
See, prayer comes after your Bible reading. But understand this. It needs to come.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't just sit there and say, well, brother Dave,
all he said I have to do is read my Bible and he's going to reward me.
He's rewarding you with the ability to come boldly to the throne of grace. He's rewarding you because you sought him diligently in the word of God, quick and powerful, sharpening two edged sword, dividing asunder, showing you what you're doing wrong, showing you what's going on in your life, showing you how good God is. You come to that place, he'll let you come to the next place. The next place is prayer. And by the way, you need to come there. We don't come there enough. See, we live our lives as Christians half-heartedly. Again, I'm sorry I'm losing you, and I'm sorry you don't like this kind of preacher, but I'm telling you right now, this is where we're at.
Yeah, that's right.
We seek him half-heartedly, all of us, preachers on down. We seek him half-heartedly. Why? Because we've got our life here in America. We got our life here in America. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the past. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Billy Sunday had 5,000 people in Tabernacle. Glory to God, that's gone. Those days are gone. God is not short. He is not slack. He is not less powerful. We just don't call on him enough. We don't seek him diligently enough. We're willing for status quo life. We're willing to live a life less powerful. We blame it on TV. We blame it on all these things. We blame it on Facebook and all those things. I'm against all these. There ain't nothing I'm not against. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm against everything. I'm against everything. You're right. You know what I am. I'm against everything. Don't bring me something brand new. I'm against it right off the bat. Just know that. Do you like this? No, I hate it. I'm against it, whatever it is. If you don't know nothing about it, if the world has this brand new, I'm against it. I just really am. Whatever. Take me for what I'm worth. You voted me in. It's your fault. Now, here's the thing. So we don't seek him enough because God's not gotten less powerful. We come to the throne of grace unprepared. Help me. What do you mean we come unprepared? By the way, the throne of grace is a throne of grace. Let me ask you a question. This is so good. You just stick with me. Please stick with me. What is grace? Grace is giving us what we do not deserve. But look at what this says. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Now wait a minute. What's mercy? Not giving us what we do deserve. Now wait a minute. So basically, we got to come to the throne as a sinner. Huh? Am I wrong? Because if you're coming to the throne to find mercy and grace, you must be screwing up. Right? Because if we weren't screwing up, we wouldn't need the mercy. Help me. Please help me. I must be an idiot. This is the way I see it. If we have to come to this place, if we have to come to this prayer, if we have to come to our God, and we're going to try to find mercy, and we're going to try to find grace, and we're going to try to find those things, we must need them.
Right.
If we need them, we must be screwing up.
Right.
You are, by the way, screwing up.
Yeah.
But it's okay because there's a place you can go.
Right.
But we always come to this place unprepared. Why? Because we didn't get in the Bible and let it discern the thoughts and intents. We didn't come to the Bible and find out the joints and the marrow. We didn't come to the Bible and let it tell us. We didn't come to the Bible and reckon with God, which you have to do. Did I read that wrong?
No.
Did I come across this verse and it's wrong? Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight. Aren't you any creature?
Yeah.
Some of you are more creatures than other. Huh? This should be a God-sent blessing to you this morning to come to the realization that you've got a book that tears you apart and a God that puts you back together.
Right. Amen.
You better grab a hold of the horns of the altar today and thank God for what he's done in your life.
Yes.
You know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, he does.
Yes.
And look at this. Let us therefore, because we came to the book, let us therefore, because we know we need it, let us therefore come to the throne and thank God for his grace and mercy.
Yes.
Because he's going to give it. Look at this. And find grace. You're not going to come to this place and not find grace. Boy, God's good to you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, let us therefore come boldly. Come boldly. If you act like that means I want a Corvette. You act like God owes you your house payment. There's nothing wrong with praying for those things. There's not. But the problem is, as Christians, we have stopped seeing his grace. We just see the work. We just see the bad. Did you know there's bad in Christian life? We're sinners. We deserve it. But if you read this like I read it, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm not the smartest fellow in the whole wide world. I understand it. I'm just reading what the Bible says here. It seems to me that to sum all this up, the book will tear you apart, but the Lord will put you back together. And make you a vessel. Worthy. Boy, God's good. Don't you look around the room and look at somebody else. Don't you look around and you know what? He does need your grace. Don't you look around and yeah, you know what he's doing? He's preaching this because you told him, God. I'm telling you, I know that idiot can tell. Hey, you bet. Do you want me to tell you how you prepare? Let us therefore come home. Do you know how you prepare
to go to the throne? Do you know how you prepare to come to the altar? Do you know how you prepare to seek God in prayer? We act like God's a genie. I would like, wish number one, I would like to have all of my bills paid forever. Wish number two, please kill all of my enemies. Let me tell you something. God does not work that way.
No. No.
God wants to deal with you.
Right.
The way he deals with you is through that word. And there's nothing in my eyes in this whole thing that should be more powerful to you than "and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Why do you feel bad? Because you not have had to do him yet. Why do you feel undone? Because you have not come to him yet. Why do you feel like your life's been spinning wheels? Because you have not sought him out yet. You haven't diligently sought him. That's why he hasn't rewarded you. And you say, "Well, how do I diligently seek him?" Get in the Bible and read and study.
Right.
Right. See what he's got to say about you. I read that book and I come out feeling bad. Yeah. And then I go to prayer.
Wow.
And come over to that throne that we always talk about. We talk about it like it's a garage sale or something. "We'll find great treasure here. I've been praying for this new bowling ball forever, and God brought it to the garage sale." That's not how God works. You come prepared to come to the throne, you'll come with a broken heart. You come prepared to go to the throne, you'll come with a contrite spirit. You come to the throne boldly because you know that that's the only place you've got left. Somebody say amen this morning.
Amen.
You come to that place because you need to be there.
Right. Right.
You need to be there. Don't you think you're above going to that throne? You need to be there. By the way, this whole chapter is talking about how undone we are.
Yeah.
It's talking about where you're going to find rest. It's talking about where you're going to get back to serving God. That's what it's talking about, the whole chapter. And then it says, "Let us therefore come boldly." But we only read those verses because we want our prayers answered. The prayer here, when you're boldly coming to that throne, the prayer here is not for stuff. Prayer here is for mercy and grace. And he says, "You'll find it." I want you to see two more words. I'm all done. I've been blessed by this myself. "And find grace to help," which was what we need, "in time of need." Now hold on now. Hold on. Why don't we come to this throne? You don't know that you need his grace. You don't know that you need his grace. What's it say? Come on, read the Bible with me. Let's study a little bit together. Can we study a little bit together? "And find grace," because that's what you're looking for, "to help in time of need." You don't come to the throne because you know you need it. You're going to seek it out from wherever you can. Why is there alcoholism? Because they're seeking a throne and not finding it. Why is there drug abuse? Because you're seeking a throne and you're not finding it.
That's right. You're
16. My grace is sufficient for thee. Some of us Christians see that as curse words. Tell me I'm wrong. You're going through something and the Christian comes to you and says, "Thy grace is sufficient." You look up to God to help you. You look at that as curse words. God, how about you wouldn't have put me in this spot? You'll find grace to help in time of need. This is my challenge, and we'll pray. I believe with all my heart, Christian, you're in that time right now. You're in that time of need right now. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, your grace and your mercy is so often untapped. And Lord, I don't want to belittle prayer. I don't, my soul. Prayer is so powerful and so vital and so important. Lord, we don't claim it enough. We don't pray hard enough. We don't pray long enough. We don't wait on you enough. And oh God, we need that prayer. But Lord, where did it go when we stopped diligently seeking you? Where did we go when we stopped reading your Bible? Where did we go, Lord, when we stopped letting the Bible speak to us? And Lord, it's easy. It's an easy book to put down because it tears us up. But Lord God, that's not something that's a bad thing. God, I don't look at it that way. I look at it as your Bible's tearing me up and you're putting me back together. And what a graceful God you are. Lord, we need you. Oh, my soul, we need you. We need to pray to you. Oh, we do. But Lord God, I think we ought to let you talk to us long before we start talking to you. And Lord, we do need to talk to you. We need your grace. We need to come boldly to the throne because there's nowhere else to go. We need to come boldly to the throne because that's where we're going to find the grace. We need to come boldly to the throne because you told us to. We need to come boldly to the throne because you're the only one that can do anything about it. Lord God, help us today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.